Welcome to Dick Sutphin's Metaphysical World, where you'll be hearing discussions about psychic explorations, healing, hypnotherapy, and human potential.
Hello, I'm Dick Sutphin, and hi, Dennis.
Hey, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing real good, and you have joined me on my metaphysical world this morning.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's totally our pleasure.
Well, this is going to be fun.
I don't know.
I want to explain to people that Dennis is Dennis Adams, and he is a really phenomenal healer. He has a huge reputation and travels all over the place. And before the show, we were talking about the fact that we're trying not to burn out. We're trying to take life a little easy. And it's not easy to do, is it?
No, it's really not. Because, you know what happens is you just really want to help everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And then you just keep helping and helping. And you totally forget about helping yourself, which is, like, most important.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Same thing. And some of the cases, it's, oh, my God, do I want to take that on? And yet I seem to do it. But I don't do it like you do it. Dennis has a wonderful website, and it's just Dennis Adams Seminars. And he's got footage on, amazing footage, of a show he did, a TV show. I did that show years ago, too.
All right.
And, but boy, that was a beautiful demonstration of healing.
Yeah, God was really cooking on that show, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. And the woman was, you know, happily surprised when we were done with her.
Yeah, she was, well, you know, if you're born crippled, you know, and you go 37 years and all of a sudden you get up and walk, it's kind of an enlightening experience.
Oh, boy. Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Well, tell the folks generally, about your healing work. You get sick of hearing that, I know. But just a little background on it, Dennis, if you will.
Okay. Well, I started out a long time ago. I started out at age 20. I'm 64 now, so I've been, you know, working on bodies for a while.
Yeah, just a little. You ought to know them by now.
Yeah. You kind of get used to them. I became a healer because, you know, I was interested in healing, and I had several problems when I was younger. So, you know, being in pain is kind of a motivator. That's what got me into healing.
Right.
And then, you know, you do your thing, and all of a sudden one day, you know, you're minding your own business, and the wholeness goes, all right, we're going to do this way, we're going to do this way, we're going to do this that way, so let's get with the program. And you go like, whoa. So, you know, it's first let me just, healers don't heal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
healers set the stage for the wholeness to do the miracles.
Yes.
That's what our job is. Like, a lot of people say, well, this person can heal me, that person can heal me. Hey, none of us know how to heal people.
Right.
That's just the fact, you know?
And
I humbly say that, you know, because I'm a physicist, an astro, quantum, and nuclear physicist, so I cover three fields. And I know as a fact that things that happen coming out of my hands, a human being can't do. So I know that there's more going on than just what meets the eye or you saying that you're a healer. You really have to tune in to the wholeness that you are, you know, the essence of everything, and then actually know that you are and then start producing that. And then, you know, that's really how the healings work. God, Yahweh, Buddha, Jehovah, whoever you think is pushing the button to a quick word from our sponsor, it really does all the work. And I guess the healer's job, like all skills, is to interpret, you know, what we think is coming through and then, you know, try to apply that to the human being. And that's always changing, just like the planet, because we're made from her.
Right.
And she always changes, so will we. So,
and we can't help but go along with her.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, whatever direction she's heading, that's the way you got to go. So, you know, healing techniques change daily because the planet is changing daily. And you have to be able to keep in moment with present moment. And that's, you know, that's kind of the long and the short of it. There's a lot of great healers out there, but I've noticed that the majority of the really great healers, they all die a few years after they discovered they're healers. And what I did through research is what I found out is they were taking credit for everything. Here, I can fix this, I can fix that, I healed this, I healed that.
Yeah.
When you say that enough times, You know, you're taking on all the karma of all the people that the wholeness fixed.
Ooh.
And because of your wanting to be part of the deal by saying, I this, I that, I the other thing, there's a tendency for you to get sick and, you know, take on the other thing. So,
right.
You know, so,
so you don't take any of their dis-ease into your body.
Oh, no.
At all.
No.
I know that a friend of mine named Patty Conklin, who had a show on this station for a while, she takes it into her body and then spends 2 or 3 days trying to clear it, trying to flush it out of her system. And
yeah,
she
that's kind of a heavy-duty route to go. That's
yes,
like a
it is.
Eater, you know what I mean? A
yeah.
person who eats sins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, you know. Like, for me, the most that I work in a day is I'll work on 3 people in the morning and 3 people in the afternoon, you know, an hour each.
And that seems like a pretty heavy load in itself.
But that's actually a heavy load, but once you get into the role of things, you know, it's like, you know, people say, well, don't you get tired? Well, no, I'm not doing healing.
You're not doing it.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. I'm,
yeah.
I'm just hanging out here. And
do you have
go,
a contact, Dennis, on the other side? That you feel is your conduit, so to speak, the spirit, or, you know, because some healers do, some, I hear all kinds of claims, and what do you feel?
Well, what do you feel?
What do you feel? I take it you don't do that. You just kind of learn to intuit?
Yeah, I learn to intuit, and then I just apply it.
Yeah, yeah.
People say that if I touch you, you'll feel the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll go like, well, he's like shaking. But if you look at my hands, I don't shake.
Right.
I can run. I figured out, you know how every now and then you get a chill up your spine?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you go like, boom, boom, and you get that little tiny thing.
Yeah.
I've learned to use that energy, bring it up through my spine continuously, convert it into a healing aspect, and then alter the vibration in the human body to whatever the universe wants it adjusted to. Can I feel it? Yeah, you can definitely feel it,
mm-hmm.
but is it like some unusual thing that comes through you? Nah, it's just like anything else. It's just like part of your system, and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, that thing, yeah, right.
Right, right.
You know.
I like the way that you bring it down to earth, man. That
well,
is refreshing
it,
in a world that, because I have quite a bit of contact with healers and if nothing more than interviewing them. So this is a very refreshing take. But at the same time, let me point out, this guy does amazing stuff. So
yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, that's what you hear. That's what that's what people tell you. Well, I'll bet when you are working, you've got people lined up. I mean, I imagine that it's difficult to take a break, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, because then they want you to work through your lunch, and then they want you to work overtime,
uh-huh.
and then, you know, and then you get the ones that call you, you know, you've got to fly out to, I don't know, New York or Australia or Rome or England, you know, and you've got to come right away.
Man.
My mate only has a day to live or something, and, you know, and people you know, like, I go, it's only a day. Why did you wait, you know, to the last minute?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't, see, people don't necessarily believe in healers, and you don't necessarily really go to a healer until the doctor looks at you and goes, well, you know, I think you got like about 2 weeks to go.
Hey, yeah, it's all over, buddy.
I know
that.
Going, so where are those healers at? You know, it
yeah.
might be a little late to come for us, but
yeah.
we're not really, once again, because, once again, we ain't doing it. God is. And I'll tell you what, God is an impressive piece of work. You know, the words
yeah.
of our sponsor, it will just blow you out into the street.
Because I imagine once in a while, you deal with those people that have a day to live, and you see some miracles happen, don't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah. See, they look at me more as an ER healer, which is kind of odd. You know, when they bring people to me, I'm usually under the gun. They've usually given them a week or a week and a half.
It's all over.
Yeah,
ooh,
it's all over.
God. Nothing like pressure.
Yeah, nothing
don't want
like
you to
pressure,
feel any pressure, Dennis, but I'm dying tomorrow, so.
Yeah, I'm going to die tomorrow or maybe even this afternoon. Can you get here in an hour and a half? You know, I know you live on the other side of the world, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But you will come for me. Well, you're not. Oh, boy, do you travel much? I know you travel for your seminars and retreats and things, but do you travel much along that line where you go to the person and halfway around the world?
Yeah, you'll get one a month or two a month, something like
Do you? Yeah, I know Patty does that, and I know Fatima, the healer from Brazil, she does that.
Right. I mean, you got some pretty phenomenal healers out there. I mean, truly.
And they all work differently. It's amazing to me the degree that they work differently.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, God's... God's
yeah. Well, God, I'm going to give you the assignment. You work with Technique EB, and you work with F10, and I mean, it seems like, and everybody feels their way is the way.
Yeah, that's what everybody believes. Well, yeah. It's the way that they found that they feel most comfortable with, you know, mm-hmm. being able to bring all this energy through. You got to, every person's different, you know.
Yeah.
Brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes, blonde hair, brute, you know, so we're all different.
Yeah.
You have to find what really works for you, what, you know, really, you know, what is comfortable with you. You know, you don't want to be
right.
doing things that are so uncomfortable, you're, you know, you're off the deep end. But
oh, no.
You know, but yeah, healing for me is, it's quite rewarding because you're right. Usually I'm under the gun and I get to watch, you know, the wholeness just do profound things. I mean,
yeah.
Just amazing.
Give me
profound.
Some examples, okay? I mean, because I know you've got hundreds of stories to tell, but what are some examples of the, where you're even surprised? You are the healer, and you're doing your thing, and you go, damn, you
yeah.
know, that really works.
You just take a look and go, holy cow, God,
yeah.
That one's off the chart, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I deal with a lot of MS because it seems like the wholeness, for one thing, can come through me really well with MS. So I guess with
really?
MS, I've seen people just drop crutches. I've seen people drop, you know, get out of wheelchairs.
Yeah.
You know, they're all pretty profound. I mean, I've seen people get up that were deaf and they weren't when they're done. I've seen them when they were blind and they're not done. So in the grouping that I work with, it's sort of kind of like... And I humbly say this, you know, like kind of like the Jesus thing, you know, you get laid on with some really heavy stuff, and then, you know, God really works the heavier people through you because it knows you don't go into fear when you're working on people.
Yeah.
I see people where, you know, I've seen a couple kids where they were only supposed to live to be 9 years old, and then they came down with another disease that would kill them by 12, and then another disease that would kill them by 14. And he's still a good friend of mine here in Mount Shasta. He goes to college. He's like 22. And,
right.
You know, he's just changed. I mean, when you say what really blows you away, it all blows me away.
Yeah.
To have cancer one second and not have it the next second.
Yeah. That must be, I mean, the relief on the part of your client.
Oh, man.
It's
amazing. When a person stands up and they're looking at you and they haven't stood for, you know, for a few years, they're looking at you trying to grasp on what happens. And what your job is to reflect the wholeness back to them. Hey, you know, God's really giving you a hand here. God's really showing you how to make this work. Not, wow, look what I did. You don't have time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line is all you did was show up. You know, so let's not break our arm patting ourselves on the back too
yeah.
much, you know. And I'm just real. I have to be truthful with all of that stuff because I know better. I know we can't really do that. It's like, you know, I go into hospitals. I work in a lot of hospitals in the United
yeah.
States. I guess I'm one of the rare healers that does. But you know, you walk in and you can see a person in pain, and as soon as you touch them, the pain's gone. And just in that split second. You can see in a person's eyes just everything that's going on. You can see the pain disappear. You can see hope come back. You can see that they're starting to believe in the faith that they hung on to all of this time is really holding on for them. It's an experience. It's why I do it. It is why I do it, because it doesn't matter who the person is. When they're done and they get off the table, they are not the same human being anymore.
Right.
I hear that I'm not one of those healers where when I'm done you go, gee, I wonder if anything happened. I'm not really like that at all.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
With, far more than it has been.
Yeah, that's it. See, because when I'm done, you're just sitting there with your jaw wide open and your eyes big as saucers going, whoa, what just happened to me? Well, you know, you decided to accept who you really were. You decided to really be, you know, what you're capable of being, and there's just no limits to it. I mean, there's just no limits. Just There's just no limits.
Well, do you see some people, Dennis, where you know you're not going to be able to do anything, or do you not even think that way?
I don't even think that way.
Okay,
that
great.
Doesn't even cross my mind. Bottom line is, you came in and you laid down on that table. God is going to do something very profound.
Yeah.
And then, see, the key here is that we can, you know, as a personality, I will say this: we can, and when I say we, we can have an effect. We can actually affect you, but it will only hold for 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, after all of the years of working on things, you get really sharp at what you're doing. You've noticed the techniques that the homeless does. You notice certain things that lead to other scenarios. You know, over all the years of repetition, you get really good at it. And, and you begin to notice, you know, how things change. And, gosh, it's just... the universe, I've lost all my concentration. I'm so blown away when the wholeness comes through.
Yeah.
It just alters everything on command. But then again, 72 hours later, every human being has free will. See, and as a healer...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, see, and most healers don't mention it. They don't say nothing about it.
Right.
We can totally affect you for 72 hours. In other words, there's like, let's just call it a grace period. The wholeness comes through you. It says, do this, 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 and the pain, and this is all going to go away. You do this, 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 and this. And
right.
Sure enough, just like the wholeness says, the pain and everything goes away. However, we do have free will. And free will is, even though a person wants to get better, you know, sometimes in the back of their head they go, well, you know, I can't really get completely good because of that one thing that I did over here. Or I don't deserve it, or I'm not a good enough person, or why would God take the time to come down and heal me?
Yes.
That's the big one. Why would God take the time to come down and heal me? That's the one most people have to deal with, especially during healings.
So you feel they've got a decision that they have to make.
Yes,
it's
up to them. Whether
they've got to dwell on it or it's totally subconscious, but they have a decision they have to make within 72 hours.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
And what the healer does is set the body up so that it can go into an alignment when it makes the decision to get better.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sure do.
See, and then people say, well, how's the instantaneous miracles? Well, you get to see maybe one of those a week.
Yeah.
You know, out of all the people I can do in a week, I'll get to see one. An instantaneous miracle is somebody really believes that God and them are swinging together on the same vine. You know what I mean? and that it's just all working really well.
Right, right.
And, boy, you touch them and they jump up off the table and they're miraculously healed.
Well, you just feel that they're waiting for you to push the button.
Yeah,
but they've really done the preparation.
Right, they've done the prep work. They've got the time in on the job.
Yeah,
they feel that they're ready to rock and roll. Now, most people, you know, it takes them at least that third day for them to decide what they're going to do, and then they make the adjustment in time based on their internal clock.
Okay.
Now, every human being has an internal clock. It's kind of like, you know, you get up in the morning and you go, oh, man, I feel like garbage. This is going to be a day longer, you know.
Yeah.
Or you get up and you go, oh, man, I, like, really feel like garbage. This is going to be a three-dayer, you know. And so you kind of know how long you're going to be sick for. And it's the same thing with healing. You know, you get the healing and you go, you know, I don't think God would come down and touch me right away, but it might do it in, say, you know, a couple visits here, a couple visits there, and in about a week I should get better.
Yeah, I've got to work through it, and then I maybe deserve. Wow.
Yeah, then maybe God, you know, I kind of thought I saw him up there by that cloud peeking at me, and maybe he'll come down and just touch me, you know. And so a lot of people are like that, and that's cool because after that 72 hours, and somewhere in their subconscious, they really decide to go for it. You know, you can see them starting to get stronger and better. You know, and then of course they all run off to the doctors, and like, you know, this one lady was here, and she had a bunch of little tumors inside of her body. She said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, I think they're gone. You know, I don't know what else to think."
Yeah.
And I said, "I don't know if they'll stay gone, but I think they're gone." And she goes, "Really?" So she ran straight back to Oregon, set up a CAT scan, and went in and like. That evening, got a CAT scan, called me back and goes, "You're right, they're all gone."
Oh.
You know, and so that those things like that, that's very cool.
That is very cool.
You know, that's very cool.
On that note, we need to break away for a commercial.
All right.
Hold that thought because I want to come right back to it. Okay, Dennis?
You got it.
Okay, and I'll bet you Rebecca's right there ready to take us into commercial territory.
Over 250 articles covering all aspects of past life regression, psychic exploration, spirit contact, and healings are available at Dick Sutphin's website. You can also download for free several book titles, including the best-selling Sedona, Psychic Energy Vortexes. Other free books are The Master of Life Manual and How to Fix Everything in Your Life at Once. There are articles telling you how to increase the power of mind programming CDs. Road diaries take you on spiritual journeys through England, Scotland, Ireland, and Australia. Check out all of the offerings at www.dicksutphin.com and start exploring. That's Dick Sutphin, SUTPHEN.com.
Remember, you can podcast or download any or all of the shows right here on ContactTalkRadio.com by visiting each of your favorite hosts' page.
Download Dick Sutphin's CD titles to program your mind to resolve problems, improve your life, or develop new abilities. The list of MP3 files is being expanded every week. Zapper titles, 74-minute courses, the RX-17 line of mind programming, the mind electronics titles to generate a hypnotic trance, and so much more. These MP3s contain the entire original CD programs and include a text instruction file. They're also less expensive as downloads. To see the current download selection, go to mp3prohypnosis.com. That's mp3prohypnosis.com.
All right, we're back again. And Dennis, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, or at least to see your website, but how they can contact you.
Well, I'm on our website, DennisAdamsSeminars.com, and you can see me on NBC TV doing my healings and stuff there. Or you can give us a call here in our office at area code 530-938-3186. And if we get a chance, we'll shoot you that number again. That's 530-938-3186. Just leave a message, because that phone rings all day long. Got a secretary on it. It'll take care of it.
But, I believe you.
And you know,
and it's ringing up in Mount Shasta, too. I want to mention that you are located in that area, which is a rather magical area.
Yeah.
I mean, are you really cognizant of the energies and the power of the area? Do you feel it helps you?
Oh, man, this place is just, when I first came here almost 29 years ago, I couldn't believe there was only like 3,800 people living in the town.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a PowerPoint. And, you know, I've lived here a long time, but I go up and down the mountain almost every day. And I've done that for 20-some years now.
Mountain is you, and you are the mountain. So
exactly. The man in the mountain other than the man in the moon. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, there's no thought forms over 9,000 feet. See, thought forms have weight.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, very serious. Here's my field there, Mr. Richard.
Yeah. Man, that's a real interesting concept.
Yeah, well, it's not a concept. It's kind of like, weight. When a person gets sick, I reach inside the body, and then God shows me how to grab the thought and pull it out.
Yeah.
So then you pull the thought out. Okay, well, thoughts have weight. And when you pull thoughts out of a person's body, their body gets lighter. Like, physically, you can feel it. You can experience it. It's kind of like, holy cow, how's that happen? Okay,
yeah.
So thought has weight. Well, the higher up in the atmosphere you go, the less the thought, you know, can rise up. So about 9,000 feet, thoughts can't really get above that. That's why most of your masters live up in the mountains and up in the cliffs and stuff like that, because there's no thought forms. You know, like at sea level, man, it is just as busy can be. You know, so, you know, you're walking through a lot of thought forms on the planet. The higher up you go, the less thought forms you have to walk through. The clearer you can become and the more pristine you can keep working your energy field, so that, you know, you're really sharp on everything that's going on. And that's
right.
You know, that's what I do. I go up that 9,000 feet mark a lot, and then you just sit there, well, you know, I'll meditate and
Well, do you have a home up there at 9,000 feet? Or?
Yes, a place that I sit every day or whenever I'm up there. But, you know, my space is about 3,800 feet, so it's not real high up, but that's why I go up there to get up there. And
I live at 6,000. I've got to go up 3,000 feet more, huh?
Yeah, well, you'll see it. You'll actually feel it and hear it, because when you get up at 9,000 feet, you'll notice you're not hearing the emptiness. You're hearing something else. It's very impressive.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very
impressive. Yeah.
I mean, that's why mountain climbers are always up there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if they all seem to be addicted to it, they may not be addicted for the reasons that appear.
Right, right. Yeah. But there's definitely an addiction to that reality. So they're all up there jumping around. Well, you don't jump around too much at that elevation.
No, you don't. But so you have a meditation spot. You like to go or just absorb the energy, and then you come back down and deal with the real world at the foot of the mountain.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, okay.
Talk to God, talk to the other half of God in form.
Yeah, you cover the whole piece.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting work, man. Really interesting work. Well, what about seminars? Because I think you do them, right?
Right, I do seminars at different places. I'm going to be in Detroit on May the 4th. For a solid week, I'm doing a workshop called A Week with Dennis. And
That sounds basic and covers it.
It's basic, it's easy, but you're going to learn more about yourself than you even knew. You know, it's a solid week. Yeah, solid week. And we're gonna, somehow the wholeness lets me know everything. I mean, I can look at a person and go, hey, remember when your sister hit you in the head when you were on a swing with the baseball bat? And people just look at you like, where did you come up with that one? I didn't even remember that till you said it.
Yeah.
But when you can touch the soul of another human being, remember, we're all part of God.
Right. I agree with you.
And the wholeness has just showed me how to touch the other parts of itself.
Uh-huh.
And when you touch the other parts of yourself, and you know that it's all one, you have access to everything that's going on. It's like a holographic universe.
Okay.
I mean, really a holographic universe. And if you're the child of God, well, son of a gun, act like it. You know, anything God can do, so can you. You know, people go, what, are you kidding me? And I go, well, no, really. I mean, my parents, I love my parents, my organic parents, they taught me a lot, they showed me a lot. All right, I can do pretty much a lot of the stuff my parents can do.
Yeah.
Well, if God's my real parent, I mean, I should be able to do the same stuff God does, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't have told us we were its children. And like Jesus' rap was, you know, come on, don't you guys know you're the sons and daughters of God, and you will all come and do far greater work than I.
Yeah, these things you should do and more.
Man, come on, you can do more. I can change the world. You can do better. Well, so I believed them. That's why I became a healer.
Yeah.
And what I discovered is, you can do anything, you know, God would like you to do, because it shares the experience with you. When you believe you're truly part of the whole, and you believe that with every fiber of your being, the wholeness works with you. It works through you. It works as you. You know, it's like one of the things that I teach is that, like, the space. You know, everybody says, well, what's God? And I just go, well, God's the space. And they go, well, how can that be? And I go, well, because it's everywhere. And as I looked at all of the religions, they all agree on one thing. Whatever it is, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a physicist. You can find that. The one thing that's everywhere is space, you know? Space is everywhere. And then I really get into it, you know, and I look at things like, you know, how much space is in the human being. You know, if you take all of the space out of a human being, you can put three people, the matter that's left, three people on the head of a pin. I mean, that's really out there, profound stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking, well, you mean that we're really not here? I'm 6'4", 200 pounds, and there's three of us on the head of a pin if you take the space away?
Yeah.
You know, and I go, well, gee whiz. So I made space God, because God's in everything, space is in everything, and then just tune into it. And the wholeness tunes in back to you. It's like people go, well, this is really hard to get to the wholeness. What, are you kidding me? It's your parent. How hard can this be? And everybody goes, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, my parents taught me how to walk and crawl and talk and do all of these things, and I'm going like, well, so does God. And everybody goes, well, God doesn't talk to me. And I go, what, are you crazy? I mean, How many of you, you know that voice that sounds just like you inside of your head?
Yep.
Okay. Did you ever listen to it?
Yeah, babbler. I call him babbler.
Okay, now sometimes
he never shuts up.
And then sometimes, do you ever notice, like, it gives you information and there's no thinking process involved?
Right, yes.
Well, the human being has to think to have that voice talk.
Yeah.
And if it ain't thinking and the voice is just talking, somebody's talking to you.
Yes, I agree.
And it's one of those really unique things, you know, like, let's just, a simple example, it's like 3 in the morning, you know, you're sitting there in a red light, you're looking all over and there ain't nobody around and you're thinking, I'm just going to blow this light off, you know?
Yep.
And all of a sudden you hear your voice go, don't do it, you don't want to do this. You're thinking to yourself, now I better take another look. You look all around, you don't see anything. You go, yeah, I'm blowing this off anyhow. And you just, boom, and you shoot through the red light. And sure, there's a cop sitting like in somebody's driveway and, you know.
Yeah.
What's the first thing out of your mouth? When am I going to learn to listen to myself? First thing out of our mouth.
Right.
Now, we got to just analyze that for a quick second. First of all, a human being isn't that sharp that it knows the future.
Yep.
So then, that there was something up there, okay? You personally didn't know there was something up there. And yet something's trying to tell you that if you go through this red light, you're going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess the wholeness is trying to tell me something. I should learn to listen. You know, it's
we
like talking to you
listen.
All the time. Just
yeah.
Open your ears and check it out.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Great advice, Dennis. Jeez.
Well, you got to keep it simple, you know.
Well, you got to keep it simple. How did you transfer into from a career in physics into a career in healing? Was it a gradual, you know, transference, or what did you do?
It was like, you know, I wanted to, you know, when you first get that you're not really here, and there's only enough matter to fill three of you on the head of a pin, there's an illusion.
Yeah.
And then you have to sit there and go, this illusion looks really good to me.
Yeah.
It looks like it's 6'4", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and I think to myself, wow, so as a healer, what are you supposed to heal? Are you supposed to heal the illusion? Or how can you find the matter, which is only three people on the head of a pin?
Oh, God.
That's why I say we
that
heal
image,
thought forms.
Sticks somehow. Yeah.
See, that's the key, is to pull the thought form out, because it's just all thought.
Yeah.
You know, and then people say, well, you know, there's three of us on the head of the pin, then what's really standing there? Well, what's really standing there is your soul.
Yeah.
I mean, and what you're actually looking at is space, except that you can see it. Everybody wants to know that they're part of the wholeness. Everybody wants to be able to see it. Well, first of all, the body that's standing there doesn't exist. That's not a hypothesis or a theory. That's actually math and physics.
Yes,
there's nothing really there.
Yeah.
But then we can see something. You know, so I came up with this really simple thing, like if the matter fits on the head of the pin, then the body that is standing there, like say mine, which is 6'4", 200 pounds, which I can plainly see even though it's not there, hey, that's antimatter. And I got all these physicists looking for antimatter. All they have to do is stop and look in a mirror. Because what you're seeing isn't really there, and yet the human being can perceive it to be there. Therefore, the matter can see the space. Well, therefore, it has to be antimatter. Matter and antimatter both have to be a visible piece of substance. Because I can find matter, therefore I should be able to find the antimatter. Well, if I can see myself at 6'4", but I'm really not standing there, that seems simple enough to understand to me.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you feel that we are in a frequency of time and space that we've agreed to play the game? How do you view it?
The planet's really changing, and that's the one thing that people really got to get a grasp on. Like the ice caps are melting, temperatures are changing, and the weather is all different, you know. And then we as a human being perceive ourselves to still be the same person we were younger, and that we're going to go back to this person.
Right.
That's really not what's going on anymore.
No.
Healings are changing. The stress load on this planet is getting out of control.
I agree.
I mean, everybody is freaking out. Well, and everybody's going in an emotional state. Well, the ice caps are melting. We're becoming more liquid than solid. So our solidness on the planet is starting to give into more of a liquid substance, which means we're becoming more emotional. It's just a matter of, we need to learn the emotional aspect of ourselves now. How does that body work? How does the healing work in that? You know, it's like when we do healing.
So that's part of the lessons, and the lessons are changing. These are the new lessons.
These are new lessons, and there's none of that, you know, listen to the old master. He's going to pass it on to everybody that's coming along.
Yeah.
We're having to develop our insight in terms of the wholeness and everything right here, right now, because what was working in the past, this isn't working anymore. I mean, we're not built the same way. The planet's not the same thing. She's covered with different forms of gases and pollutions and things like that. She's not thinking as clear as she should be. We're not thinking as clear as we should be. Come on, look at the economy.
Yeah,
you know? And we're giving them trillions of dollars, and these guys are taking $150 million bonuses. Things are messed up out there. Now, if you can see how obvious those things are just messed up, just imagine what the physical bodies are going through as they, you know, as our planet goes through time and space. Everything's different. Everything's evolving. It's sort of like, even though I call the body antimatter, it's really the soul. And you know, we've been misunderstood. We're form and non-form together. But what we've been taught is we're form and God is non-form. Well, non-form and form exist together. They coexist.
Yeah.
You can't separate them. So when people tell us that we're separate from God, or the human being's not smart enough to get back to the wholeness, I get so offended with those people, because you know what? First of all, you can't separate. The space is around every single particle there is.
Yes.
You want me to give you a quick wrap on this God space thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm looking for God, right? You know, and I'm trying to find it, because it says knocking, it'll be open, seeking ye shall find, you know, the standard yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
So I'm looking for God, you know, and I made a list when I was in the woods. So what do I know about God? And it was kind of funny, because my first list was, all right, well, he's Catholic, okay, because I was raised Catholic, grade school, high school, college, and pre-med. So I started laughing. I said, well, God's Catholic. Outstanding features, you know, like so that you could notice him right away, you know, piercings, tattoos. I went when he was a guy because they'd seen his picture. He has a beard. If you want to look for him, it's simple. You look up, that's heaven. And the last one that I knew that everybody knew, and he wears a white dress. You know, and I was thinking to myself, this is kind of the story that we all got. And I'm starting to think, as a physicist, this guy's wearing a white dress. He's standing up in heaven. Everybody's looking up his skirt. And I'm thinking, this can't possibly be the God we're supposed to be looking for. You know, so I looked at all the different religions, and I said, there's got to be something everybody agrees on. And they did. And the thing I found was that whatever it is, it's everywhere. Well, heck, I'm a physicist. That I can find.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, so what's everywhere? So it's nighttime. I'm looking up at the sky, and I'm seeing all the stars. And I go, all right, stars, what do you have in common? And the one thing all the stars have in common is they're surrounded by space. And I'm going, well, this isn't too enlightening. Everybody knows this, but I'll work it. And I come down to my solar system. I look at the planets, the moons, and the sun. And I go, all right, parts, what do you got in common? And the one thing they have in common is they're all surrounded by space. And I go, great. I look at my planet, I look at everything, I go, all right, parts, what do you got in common? And the one thing everything in the planet's got in common is it's all surrounded by space. And I'm going, all right, that's great till I look in a mirror. But I'm a scientist. So you take a piece of skin, and you look at the cells, and you realize you're made up of trillions and trillions of cells, and you go, all right, cells, what do you have in common? And the one thing all the cells have in common is no two cells touch. They're all surrounded by space. I'm going, great, I'm looking for God, I got more space. I'll go smaller, one cell. Filled with parts, looked at the parts. Hey, parts, what do you got in common? One thing they all have in common is no two parts in a cell touch. They're all surrounded by space. That's why you can see their outline. So then they go, all right, down to the atomic level, electrons, protons, neutrons, all the trons. I just go, okay, trons, what do you have in common? And once again, the thing trons have in common is they're all surrounded by space. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, so space surrounds everything. So I decided to make space God. So, okay, then I got to run it through the hopper. One thing that I've heard when I was a kid was we're all brothers and sisters. Well, I can't swing with that one. I'm a physicist, man. We all have different DNA, and because of that DNA, that's how we find crooks and stuff, you know? So I'm thinking to myself, all right, space, I made you God, so how'd you pull this off? How are we all brothers and sisters? Well, the first thing I realized was the same space that went through you went through me, the exact same space. So in actually quantum physics, we're actually all brothers and sisters because we're connected by the very same material, space. Ooh. I thought about that for a second, and I thought, wow, well, that worked out. And I thought, well, that can't be it, because that was too easy. So then I thought, all right, God, you must have some power. So, Mr. Space, how'd you, like, pull that one off? You know, so the first thing I noticed was electricity. I can't see it, you know, but I can't see God either. Well, I can see if I wet my finger, stick it in a socket, you'll see all the sparks.
Yeah, you see a lot of God.
Yeah, a lot of God there. But basically, you can't see it. I'm thinking, well, you know what, God, I'm pretty impressed with your power because I've flown over this planet at night and you can light this whole thing up. So I'm pretty impressed. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, God, that's good, but you know what, buddy? To make a sun's going to take a little more than 110, you know what I'm saying here? To make a sun, I'm going to need some atomic fusion and nuclear reaction. So, like, how'd you pull that one off there, Mr. Space? And as I was saying that, I just, like, clapped my hands together and I thought, wow, what was that? And I thought, I heard a sound. And I thought, well, could you see it? And I thought, no, I couldn't see it, but, you know, I can't see God either.
Yeah.
But I heard it. You know, I can hear the end result of it. I can hear the end result of God, too. And so I'm thinking, all right, that's good. Now I have to go to quantum physics. How did I actually make that sound? Well, I clapped my hands. But what was the function? Well, I compressed space. And when I compressed space, I created nuclear reaction, atomic fusion. And that's how you make a sun. So then I jump into quantum physics. If God were space and it was capable of hugging itself, which it could do, it would produce the Big Bang Theory, quite simply, in terms of physics. So now I'm sitting there and I'm going, whoa, this is out there. So then I went with this as above, so below, heavenly body, earthly body.
Yeah.
I said, how's that one work? So I look at my atomic structure. I noticed everything was round and everything was in orbit. And I said, wow, where have you seen this before? I looked up in the sky, noticed everything was round and everything was in orbit. I'm thinking, wow, as above, so below. All the religions refer to God as, say, an orb or a circle or something round. Well, hey, that's everything inside of me and everything outside of me. And then they tell me, all the religions tell me that whatever your religion is, you're going back to your source. Well, that sounds like a round thing going back to its original point of origin, which is an orbit.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can understand in physics what's going on. I'm thinking, all right, I get this. So then I go to the next piece was like, you know, we're all made to the image and likeness of God. Well, that's good till you see your first alien, and then that whole theory is garbage. You know, so I thought to myself, well, I got to go back and figure out what these guys are talking about because they seem really stuck on this story. So I went back and I had to go to the original Sanskrit. The original Sanskrit does not say mankind is made to the image and likeness of God. What it says properly translated is all things are made to the image and likeness of God. Man believing it is all things kind of like filled that space in for itself. But if all things are made to its image, space is in all things. And I'm thinking like, wow, this is pretty cool. So the next thing I go to is like, like, you know, I heard God knows everything we all think. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, I wonder how it pulls that off. Well, I have to go to my brain, you know. So my brain, trillion cells to the power of 12, you're like a bunch.
Yeah.
So I say to myself, lift your arm, Dennis. So my arm goes up, and I thought, how's that actually happen? Well, the thought starts there at the side of my brain, but it has to go, like, to the center of my brain, hit the neurons to fire up. And I thought, well, how does thought work? Well, it goes from cell to cell to cell. It carries an image, you know. And the first cell goes, hey, lift your arm. Looks at the next cell, cell goes, I got it. Looks at the next cell, goes, lift your arm. Next cell goes, got it. Lift your arm. Next cell goes, got it. Lift your arm. Next cell goes, got it. Lift your arm. And it goes from cell to cell to cell till my arm finally moves.
Right.
However, what I actually noticed was in order for the thought to get from one cell to the next cell, it had to go through the space equally. So the thought's going through me, which I made the cell, through God, which I made the space, through me the cell, through God the space, through me, through God, through me, through God, through me, through God. Hey, not only did I know I was going to move my arm, God knew I was going to move my arm. You know, God's going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then finally I moved my arm. Well, that was very cool because that creates another scenario. I moved the cells, God moved the space. Between the two of us, we co-created the action, and what we all here that we're supposed to be co-creators with God. You know, so I'm looking at all this, and I'm going, wow, you know. And then I look at, I'm usually lecturing a few thousand people, so I look at everybody and I go, so, hey, how many people meditate? Everybody's hand shoots up.
Sure.
And I go, so you guys know what happens when you meditate? And everybody kind of looks at me, and I go, it's pretty simple. You go from one cell into the space. It's not much of a trip. But once you take your consciousness out of the space and put it in the cell, or take it out of the cell and put it in the space, you have no limitations to where you are. And when you're meditating, when people come back, you don't remember anything other than you feel great. Well, that's because you went from your cell, which contains you in your body, to the space which has no containing on you, and you expand into all creation. It's just that simple. And so when you're meditating, you know, that's all you do is you step from the cell to the space, and wow, away you go. So that's my kind of simple space story.
My God, I love it.
it keeps it easy. It doesn't interfere with anybody's religion. And, you know, and you can kind of understand it because space is still invisible, but I can comprehend it more than an invisible thing. So
So space is God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that 6'4", 200 pounds that I'm looking at in the mirror is space.
Yeah.
Because in truth, the fact of matter in mathematics, you know, there's only three of us on the head of a pin. Or that Discovery Channel had, you know, going in through a teacup or something. I mean, it's all space. And when you take a really good look at it, our emotional bodies, like I'm very, very blessed to be clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. I'm all the clairs, according to Stanford.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I can see the energy fields around people, and they're the quasars that are out there in creation. They're all of the different things that are out there. We live in one gigantic essence.
Yeah.
And
that energy that you are reading around them, they are changing by their thoughts, by their actions, by their deeds.
Exactly.
And it
creates them into a new being, the way you look. Or, you know, people will look and they'll say, gosh, you look different. What's going on? And all you did was change your attitude. Did you ever notice that?
Yes.
People say, wow, did you gain weight? Did you lose weight? You look like something. You know, it's like, no, I let go of a couple of issues that I had. You know, you can see the change in people when they let go of thoughts, because thoughts are what build the physical body that each person is looking at when they see another human being.
Oh, man. Woo! I hope that everyone is able to put this together to some degree. And on that note, Rebecca, do you still want to slide in here? And okay,
all right.
Going to do it, and we'll be right back, Dennis. So
all right,
hang in. And
all right,
else, hang in.
Become a professional hypnotist, part-time or full-time. The more the economy melts down, the more people need hypnotists who can help them to relieve stress, sleep through the night, reduce anxiety, increase ambition, banish fear and self-doubt, obtain emotional balance, generate energy, and much more. Professional hypnotists charge from $75 to $150 an hour. I'm Dick Sutphin, and I can train you with the basics in 5 days and show you what you need to do on your own after that. Visit my website, dicksutphin.com, and click on the seminars button.
If you have a music CD that needs more exposure, send it to us and we will play it here on the CTR Network. For more info on this, go to ctrmusic.net.
Zapper CDs are the easiest form of mind programming we have ever created. The mind electronic sound in the background puts you into hypnosis. You will hear suggestions, and at this level of trance, you will be up to 200 times as likely to accept the suggestions on a subconscious level. There are 60 different Zapper titles that will program you to become the changes you hear. Titles include Wealth and Success, Weight Loss, Confidence, Stop Fearful Thoughts, and Increase Your Income Fast. To see all the titles, go to prohypnosis.com. That's prohypnosis.com.
All right, we're back again, and man, I've got this is magical, Dennis. I love it, but I want you to fit in a commercial for yourself. Where are you going to be upcoming besides Detroit? We talked about that.
Okay, I'm going to be in Phoenix, St. Louis, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. Go to my website and see that. That's going to be posted here within the next 2-3 weeks. My website is DennisAdamsSeminars.com. You can see all sorts of stuff on that. Just look at the events page. If you want to call my office, and this has been very funny because my phone that I'm on right now, Richard, has just been ringing off the hook, so I hope that
really?
Wasn't disturbing anything. But my phone number is area code 530-9386. Let's see, 938.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that.
Oh, man, I can't believe this. All of a sudden, I went totally blank.
Yeah, I do,
530-938-3186.
Holy
cow. 3186, that's it. 530-938-3186. I'm sitting here going, what is my phone number?
Yeah,
this is
not a good sign.
I'm supposed to be intelligent. I can't even remember my number.
Yeah, I think you're doing a lot more important things than remembering your phone number.
What do you
feel about the shift? You know, the 2012 idea. Are you in tune with that at all?
I've been listening to that, and I'm somewhat in tune with that. It's going to be, you know, we're going to see the central sun in the Milky Way for the first time in, you know, 28,000 years since the
last
college.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Nobody's really sure if we're going to get bombarded with gamma rays or not, you know, so that's kind of a unique thing. We notice every 28,000 years the planet does take a hit on gamma rays. I mean, we've got super volcanoes ready to go off. We've got all sorts of stuff ready to go off.
Yeah, we've got waters rising.
Waters rising. There's this
tipping point
of
setting them off, yeah.
There is some change coming up, but you know what?
Yeah.
The change will be in you, and you'll always be at the right place.
Right.
At the right
and
time.
You don't see it as any end of the world scenario.
Oh, I don't fall apart like that. Come on.
That's just
basically history is just repeating itself, and the human species, as you know, has been wiped out several times but never completely.
Yeah.
So it's just another one of those, hey, ready to grow things? Yeah.
Right.
So I don't take it personally. I only live in this moment. This moment is the only moment there is.
Right.
I mean, I pay attention to things. I know that 2012, people are going to be really pressing out there.
Mm.
And just by people pressing, I'm sure that's going to change things. So I'm sure there will be changes just based on what we believe, not even
necessarily what
the planet's going to do, just our belief structure. You know, you got everybody believing things are, like, not looking well. Well, if you look at the planet, it's not looking well.
No, and if you look at the newspaper, it's not looking too well right now.
Right, you know, so the planet goes as people think. So if people decided to think that we don't really need this and let's get happy and let's make things work, well, I'm perceiving that the planet's going to be okay.
Yeah, it only takes 1%, they say, of the people really focusing upon the good, and we will have good.
Pretty much, that's what I hear. 100 monkeys.
Now, that's true unless it's not, but...
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh my God, we've gone through this hour 90 mph.
We flew through this.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Well, God, Dennis,
I have enjoyed myself. It's always fun, my brother. It's always fun.
It's been great. Doggone it. Well, I hope that a lot of people will contact you. I hope you come back on because I feel like we just barely began this talk. You know,
we did.
You got a million things you could be telling about in the next hour, the one after, and so on.
Right, it's limitless, but, you know, it just seems like, I guess that's the gift that God gave me, so.
Yeah.
And one more time, if anybody wants to see me, it's DennisAdamsSeminars.com, or give me a call at home at the healing number, area code 530-938-3186.
All right.
And I guess you guys would have that there at the studio if they needed it. So.
Yes. And we'll have this up on the web. We're a little behind on that, but we'll have it up on the web in the next few days. So,
anytime you want to do a show, just give me a call, Richard.
I'd love to.
Totally
we'll do it again for sure. And thank you, Dennis.
Hey, thank you for bringing all of this knowledge to the human beings out there. We really appreciate you serving the way you have.
Thanks.
I just want to thank you back for everything you've done for the human species.
Thank you, man. That means a lot to me coming from you. So.
Hey, the truth is easy, and that's how she goes. So thank you.
I agree. Thank you. And I hope that you've enjoyed our listeners now. I hope you've enjoyed this show. Be with me again next week when I'm going to have Carol Morgan, PhD, on, and we'll be talking about relationships, and we'll be looking at relationships through metaphysical eyes. So I hope you will join me too.
Absolutely.
And I think we've used up our time. Thank you, folks, very much. Back again next week, same time, same station.
You've been listening to Dick Sutphin's Metaphysical World. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in again next week to learn more about psychic exploration, healing, hypnotherapy, and human potential.